The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. This volume has been graciously dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shimshon Beanstock and family in memory of Nechama Bas Kalev Klein Aleh HaShalom. May the Torah studied through this volume be an everlasting zechus for her neshama.
Gittin Daf Lamed. Our Gemara discusses a case that's very, very relevant to Hilchos Ribbis. The Mishnah says, Mal va'odam es ha-koyin v'salevi v'sa'oni li'es ma'fasholei mitalkam. A yid is allowed to lend money to a koyin, a levi, or ani with the intention of recouping the money that he lent to them by withholding future maestris that he would have been obligated to give to koyanim, levium, and aniim. And the Gemara says that in this case, ein by mishum ribbis. There's no issur ribbis. So, for example, a yid is allowed to lend a koyin, a levi, or ani $100 with the intention of withholding maestris which are worth $120. So this is a gevaldige chiddush, and this is a raya to a very, very common case in Hilchos Ribbis, and we'll discuss why. Be'ezus Hashem. Taisus says that the reason that a yid is allowed to do this, Taisus asks, there's a Gemara in Bamasia that says that if a person promises to pay, to sell to somebody else the future crops of his orchard, of his paradise, then there is a problem of ribbis according to some Amiron. So if a yid will take $100 from the buyer and promise to sell him the fruits of his orchard, which may well exceed $100, there is an issur of ribbis, even though the yid did not guarantee it to pay more ribbis than the amount of money that he borrowed. He didn't guarantee any interest. Nevertheless, since there's a possibility that ribbis will be paid, that the fruits of the paradise will exceed the amount of money that he got from the buyer, that is considered ribbis. So it should be a kavul chomer to our case, where the yid said, I will charge $120 worth of interest. So the Gemara says that it's mutter in our case because there's a possibility that these fruits will never appear, and he's never going to actually have the fruits to withhold for the maestros. But however, this should be comparable to the case of Pardis, where there's also a possibility that the fruits will never appear, and therefore the ribbis will never materialize, will never be actualized. And nevertheless, in that case, according to some Amiroim, it's Aser. So Taisus says that halacha of Pardis is only Aser midrabanan, and the Chachamim were makel in a case of a koyin, a levi, or ani, because they wanted to. They wanted to enable Kehanim Levim and Anim to receive loans. They wanted to free up the credit market for Kehanim Levim and Anim. They wanted to encourage people to lend money to Kehanim Levim and Anim, who may have been generally a poor part of the population. So because they wanted to encourage such loans, they allowed the Yid to charge ribbis because of the fact that the ribbis will not be deraisa anyways, because the ribbis was not guaranteed because of the fact that the peiros, the fruits of his field, from which he would have had to pay maestros, may never materialize, and the yid will never end up charging interest. That's what Taisus says to answer the question from Pardesa. So there are yidin who own banks, and there's a question about ribbis when a yid will deposit money in that bank and charge interest on a savings account or some other kind of deposit that he makes. Will that be a question of ribbis? There's two questions. One question is if a yid deposits money in the bank, and one question is if a yid borrows money from the bank or from any institution which is owned by a yid. That's a lot more serious, Shaila, when a yid borrows money from an institution owned by a yid. But when a yid deposits money in a bank, that's a little bit less of a Shaila for the following reason. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says that he feels very strongly that Menasvara, that if a yid lends money with interest to a corporation that doesn't have any personal liability, he holds that that's not considered a loan at all, and that is not governed by the laws of ribbis. He says that Menasvara, he holds that the only way for something to be considered a loan, according to the Torah, is if there's what's called a shibud agof. If the person is personally responsible, if the borrower is personally responsible to make sure that the loan gets paid off. That means that if he doesn't have property, let's say his property gets destroyed, and he regains some assets in the future, he will be obligated to pay from those future assets. There's a question in the Pesim whether a borrower is always obligated to personally go and work in order to have money to pay back his loans. But, however, we have to have a situation where the borrower where the loan is not limited to specific assets that the borrower had at the time of the loan, and if those assets get destroyed, the borrower is totally off the hook. In that case, Ramesha says that would not be considered a loan according to the Torah, and it would not be governed by the laws of Ribbis. That's what Ramesha thinks. Now, Ramesha does not bring any rights to this halacha, and he just says them in Asvara. For many years, I had three questions on this Ramesh. One question was from our Taisis that we just saw. Taisis says that even though our Gemara would seem to say, as far as similar to Ramesh, that our Gemara would seem to say that in our case, it's not Ribbis, because if these assets that I borrowed the money on, or I lent the money on, were never to be realized, then the halacha would be, I would not be able to recoup the money that I lent. That would not be considered ribbis. That's what the Gemara seems to say. But Taisus limits that severely. Taisus says that only applies to a case where you're lending money to a kohen or a levi or ani, because the chacham wanted to encourage such loans, like we said before. But if a person lends money to a corporation, where the fact is that if the corporation goes under, the person has no recourse to go after any of the owners of the corporation to recoup his loan from their personal assets, that l'chayra should at least be asur midrabanan. That's one question. Another question is that our Mishnah is talking about a case which is not as strict as a case of a loan of money. Our Mishnah is talking about where a person lends money and he gets repaid by retaining some of the maestros, by withholding some maestros, which is not money, which would be food kind of products. That we know from Edel Nesha, that is not considered ribbis d'oraisa, it's considered ribbis d'rabbanan. If a person lends money in order to get repaid only from wheat, that would be considered only ribbis d'rabbanan. So there's another reason that this case should be more kuladik than Ramesh's case. And nevertheless, Taisa says that it's only mutter in a case of a kohen, a levi, and ani. So it's very shver in Ramesha. How could Ramesha give this blanket heter and say anytime you lend a corporation money where there's no personal liability, it's mutter legamri, when in our Gemara we see that even though there's no personal liability for the kohen, levi, or ani, nevertheless, it's usur unless the chacham gave a special dispensation. That's one question in Ramesha. Another question in Ramesha is from the Gemara that Taisa brings down, from Pardisa, the case where a person buys the future crop of a pardis. A person buys the future crop of a paradis, the Gemara says it's machloikis whether or not it's mutter asur, even though over there also one would assume that there's no personal liability, and the only way for the lender to recoup his loan would be from the fruits of the paradis. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that it's machloikis amirayim. So how could Ramesha say that it's mutter in the case of a corporation to lend beribis? A third question on Ramesh is from the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea that discusses a case where a yid lends another yid money on a mashkin, and it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch in a number of places in Siman Kuf Samach Tes that even though the malva does not have any recourse to go after the leiva, nevertheless it's going to be awesome. These are three questions I had on Ramesha. And I once went to one of Ramesha's grandchildren. I asked him the question from Pardis, from the case that Tzitz brings down of lending money for the future crop. And he said that he feels that it's possible in that case that there is some kind of personal liability that the borrower or the seller of the crop is obligated to personally make sure that the fruits of the crop reach the hands of the borrower. Whereas in a corporation, I guess, there's no responsibility on the owners of the corporation to deliver the money to the lender, which is, I'm not sure is even necessarily the case. However, Baruch Hashem, I was able to find that there's an earlier Achron who lived a little bit before Ramesha that says the same Chiddush, and this Achron
brings Raias, and he also asks all these questions. This Achron was the Marshag. He lived in Hungary before the war. And he says this halacha, he brings a raya from our Gemara. He says it's a raya from our Gemara that is mutter.
Then he asks, how can I bring a raya from this Gemara? This Gemara is talking about ribas derech mekachul memkar. Since you're not getting paid back with money, you're getting paid back with wheat, like we said before, that would only be considered in the first place to be only ribas derabanan. Secondly, he asks from the taisis that we asked from. The taisis limits this heter to koyin levi and ani. So how can we bring a raya from our Gemara to this halacha? But then the Marshag, the same person, Marshag, writes a tshuva that was not, he did not publish himself. He wrote it in Ksav Yad, and someone else published this in a Kovet Sefer called Noyam. In that Sefer, he's Chayzer, and he says that he feels that this would be applicable to all rivers of a corporation, that any time a person lends a corporation money, we can be matter based on this Gemara. And he asks a question from Rivash, and he answers the question. He doesn't, I was not able to find exactly how the Marashag answers the question that we asked from Taisus. That Taisus seems to be clear that this is a special dispensation given to Kain Olevi and Ani. It might be that the Marashag is relying on Rishonim that he brings down that seem to extend that hatter even past the Kain Olevi and Ani, and they don't apply the limit that Taisus applies to this halacha. However, the Minchas Yitzchak takes issue with the fact that anyone took it upon themselves to actually publish this tshuva of the Marshag. He says that he feels that the reason the Marshag did not publish this tshuva is because he wasn't willing to rely on this hatter. And that's why in his the tshuvas that he personally published, he didn't say this hatter. And he brings, and the Minchas Yitzchak asks this third question that we asked from the Halach in Yeredei and Kuf Samach Tes, that it says over there that if you lend money on a mashkin, when you take collateral on a loan, and you only rely on the collateral, and there's no personal recourse, nevertheless, it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch that that is Otzer. So the Minchas Yitzchak takes major issue with the Marshag, and he says, we cannot be Soymich on the Marshag to be Mekel based on this Marshag. However, Ramosha does give this hetter, and Ramosha does not ask any of these questions. So somebody who wants to be Soymich on Ramosha, we can't say that he's doing anything wrong. But this is a very, very big nafkamina in Hilchos Rivas that comes out of this block.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.